Now he says something very precious here. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now here's a verse that ought to mean a great deal to us. You see, Simon Peter, he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ personally. He'd been with him for 3 years and failed so miserably during that period. And then he came there to the Sea of Galilee, and that breakfast that morning the Lord Jesus prepared for them after his resurrection. And Simon Peter had failed him so miserably, and I guess he was waiting for it. Maybe the Lord Jesus said, Simon Peter, I can't trust you. Why in the world did you betray me? And I want to tell you, I'm going to have to put you on the sidelines. You failed me. And he didn't say that. He said, Simon Peter, do you love me? And this man who'd been a braggadocio before, he's not bragging now. He finally just cried out, you know, Lord Jesus, that I love you. But you know what a failure I am too. But I love you. And the Lord Jesus said, I'm going to let you feed the sheep. And he preached the first sermon on the day of Pentecost. Do you love me? And now he says to you and me, whom having not seen ye love. The Holy Spirit is the one that can make him real to you today. Now, friends, this is the secret of life. And that's the reason that I can't conduct any of these conferences, because all I'd have to do is get up and say, all that he's asking you to do is love him. His question is, do you love me? Then we'd all go home, and we wouldn't have much of a conference. Now, may I say to you, that's exactly what he's saying here, whom having not seen ye love. And that's the important thing. Do you love him? May I be very personal today? And I sure hope my wife's not listening. She doesn't like for me to tell this. I met her in Cleburne, Texas. She was a school teacher there. She's a very striking brunette and very popular. And when I met her at a dinner party that a member of my church arranged, I'll be honest with you, I didn't want to go that night. And I found out later she didn't want to. She had to break a date. I'd broken a date, but we wanted to please these people. These people were in my church, and she was a member of the Baptist church. And she attended the Presbyterian church with some fella. And I fell in love with her, you know. One of my members, vice president of one of the banks there, a deacon in my church, he said, you're really going to have strong competition. I found out that there was strong competition. One man owned a wholesale grocery company, and he drove a great big car. I don't know whether it's a Cadillac or not. It looked like it. And I drove a miserable little Chevrolet that wasn't brand new even. And I only made $150 a month then. And then I found out there's another fella from Fort Worth that he was the superintendent of the telephone company that had charge of West Texas for the telephone company. And he made a big salary, and he's the one who took her to a liberal Presbyterian church every now and then. She actually, being a member of the Baptist church, been immersed, all of that, she thought she is saved, that she is a Christian. And she was having a good time. And I want to tell you, friends, I had competition. What did I have to offer? And so I got in quick as I could. I told her I loved her. And she says it wasn't the second date, but the second week. I asked her to marry me. And I want to tell you, she didn't give me an answer right away. One of her questions was, and I didn't know it at the time, she had a brother there that was a coach at the high school, and he was a math teacher, and he was her big brother. And she went and talked with him about it. And she wondered whether she could be a pastor's wife, because she'd been brought up in a little town where the pastor's wife sang in the choir, played the piano, ran the missionary society, and put on all the meals. In fact, they just work those poor women to death. I feel sorry for a lot of these pastor's wives today in these small churches. And she just didn't know whether she could be a pastor's wife or not. And I didn't know all this was going on, and I was sweating it out because I had to preach Sunday night, and there I am up preaching my heart out in a Presbyterian church. And she's over at the Baptist church with this other fella. Well, I want to say to you, I moved in, and so I had to offer something, and I told her about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for us, and how he died upon the cross for us for love, and he wanted us to love him. And do you know that's the first time that she ever heard that? And when she came to the Bible class, I had a Bible class for people in the town. They came from every church. In that little town, we had about 300. And believe me, that little town began to watch how the Presbyterian preacher that had just come to town, and they thought I'd been jilted by some girl back in Tennessee, which was not true. But that word got around, and they wondered how I was going to come out with this girl, with these other fellas, you know. Well, I tell you, I told her about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I gave her the book of Ruth, because her name was Ruth, and told about how this man fell in love with her and how Christ today loves us and saves us. Because he loved us so much, he died for us on a cross. And she not only got saved, but she became my wife, by the way. That's all I had to offer. $150 a month, that wasn't much, even in those days. Of course, a dollar was a dollar then. But may I say, that makes this verse so wonderful to me today. Whom having not seen, ye love. You love him today? Well, may I say, if you don't love him, no course in the world's going to help you. And he's not going to tell you to feed sheep or to do anything else. In whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Does that set your heart beating fast today? Are you really in love with him, or do you just have a dead religion today where it's quite meaningless? My friend, oh, how wonderful this verse is here. And Simon Peter loved him, and Paul loved him, and all of those that have ever served him, they love him. I hope you love him today, and if you do, that'll solve a lot of your problems. Say, it'll even help you with your wife, because she reminded me that the way I came on strong. She was a school teacher, and I tried to call her all that weekend. She's out of town. So Monday morning, I went to florist and sent her a dozen American Beauty roses. And when she got home from school, I arranged to call her right after that to ask for a date to get this fella out of the way as quickly as I could. And she was willing. After all, I don't think he'd sent a dozen American Beauty roses. And then I told her then, that was the second week, that I loved her and I wanted to marry her, and I told her about how Christ loved us. My friend, I think it'd even help you with your wife. And when she reminded me of this, I've had a lot of time at home during the period that I had hepatitis. I had a long time at home, and we just sit out on the patio and talk, and we talked about those early days, and I went back to that day, and she said, do you remember doing this? And you know, I'd forgotten all about it. And the thing I did, I went out and I got her a dozen American Beauty roses again. And I told her, I says, well, after 37 years, I think it's time I'm sending you another dozen American Beauty roses. And I said, in 37 more years, you're going to get them again. But I don't think it'll be in this life. But friends, isn't it wonderful that the love of Christ draws our hearts together, draws believers together? It'll help you in your home. It'll help you in your church. It'll help you everywhere if you love him. That's the thing that's important. And it'll bring rejoicing to your heart. Are you a rejoicing Christian today? Just think, I got an inheritance that's coming up someday. I don't have much down here, but I sure got one over there. Oh, I tell you, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. How wonderful it is to be a child of the King. And I got an inheritance that's coming someday. Now, let me move on here. Verse 9. Got bogged down, you can see. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now, salvation, you see, was a subject, actually a prophecy. Prophets and apostles bore witness, and in the mouth of many witnesses, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. All of this, and he's writing now to the diaspora. The salvation had been predicted, you see, by the prophets of old.